All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, joined by my co-host, Alan Sterk. And today we are joined by former Falcons great running back, Jamal Anderson. He's going to share with us his memories of Super Bowl 33, as well as the hurdles that current players are going to have to overcome dealing with COVID-19 this upcoming season.
You are locked on Falcons. Your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years on Twitter, at FalcFans. Of course, the host of this Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, co-hosting this show alongside Alan Sterk. You know Alan on Twitter at Alan_Sterk. That's Allen_Sterk. And today's episode is the first of a two-part conversation that we had with former Falcons great running back Jamal Anderson, a former guest of the show, a past guest of the show, I should say, and a guy that always brings the heat when it comes to jumping on this podcast and sharing his insights and his own personal experiences. And, you know, we went so long with Jamal because he's such a great guest that we decided to split this up into a two-parter. So you'll hear the first part of today's episode, which sort of focuses on the past in terms of his experience with Super Bowl 33 between the Falcons and Broncos back in 1998. We'll sort of get his thoughts on the ongoing sort of current events with the COVID-19 and coronavirus pandemic that could potentially disrupt this upcoming season. Also, we'll sort of touch upon his thoughts on the devaluation of the running back position, a conversation Alan and myself have had on this podcast recently, and we'll get Jamal's thoughts on that. So again, this is part one of two. If you're wanting to hear Jamal's thoughts on the current Falcon situation, Matt Ryan, Todd Gurley, you know, the team's outlook in 2020, that will be in part two's episode on tomorrow. So definitely want to stay tuned to that. We'll hit up these topics with Jamal starting right now. All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Freeman, joined by my co-host, Alan Sterk. And we have a special guest with us today here on the Locked On Falcons podcast, none other than Jamal Anderson, Jam the Dirty Bird. You guys know him. You love him. He is on the Mount Rushmore of former Falcon greats from his 1998 season. He's going to be joining us today to talk about not only the 98 season, also his thoughts on all the things going on with the Falcons, the NFL, and the world today here in the year of 2020. So, Jamal, welcome back to the show. It's been a while since we got a chance to talk with you about things going. How you been, man?
I've been good, man. I've been really good. It's wild what's going on in the world. I've been trying to tell people, put your mask on, because I know we all want football season. Like, everybody wants football season. And everything that's going on in the world, I'm like, holy smokes. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful we start doing the right thing. People put their mask on and we start bending this curve back so we can actually have football season. Because this is not the NBA. We're not going to be able to put all the players, the numbers and everything, and isolate them in a certain city to be able to have games with no fans. So this is a whole other thing. And I'm personally worried about football on all the levels. I mean, I have a son that's in, you know, and he's going to be a varsity football player as a sophomore this year. So, I mean, it's every level for me where I have some concern. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm excited. We're going to get it right. We got time. So I don't want to be like, oh, I don't want to start the podcast off like that. I'm excited. I hope. No, seriously, though, I'm just like, I know, like, this is, I got, like, two things on my shoulders where it's like, there is not going to be any football. Yes, there is. So I'm very hopeful that we're going to have football because they're obviously, you know, my guy is in Atlanta now. I'm thrilled that, Gurley's there. I'm excited to see what he's going to be like physically, what he's going to be like in the offense. You know, I'm excited to see Matt. I'm excited to see Calvin Ridley and his maturation process. He's continued to improve. I expected a big spike from him in year three. I think he surprised a lot of people in year one. And then you kind of got those anticipation and expectations in year two, and the season, you know how the season went. So I'm excited to see what he's like, and of course, you know, 11. Fine, we have some young linemen, man, and, you know, they came in and did some work, and I'm interested to see how the two rookies last year play this year and what that line is like. And so I'm hopeful, guys. Let's go. We're going to have football.
Jabal, before we get into the Falcons, I want to get your take on just the running back position in general. Obviously, you've seen the past few seasons, the trajectory has kind of changed. And what's your viewpoint on just the value of the running back position now? And just, you know, given that you had such a huge workload, especially in the 1998 season, how much is like aggravate you used to hear the term like running backs don't matter and how the position has become so expendable? You know, how much has that like affected you personally, and what do you make of it?
Yeah, you know, I really do not like it. It's very frustrating because, you know, it's almost like they take the position. It's hard. Okay, you know, I get it. And I'm one of the people, I'm literally one of the people that you make the case that, hey, you don't want to pay running backs because we can come out of anywhere. That's true, but that's true of every position, you know. My biggest problem with the entire thing about and against running backs is what the top running backs do in this league, okay? The top running backs in this league, and I'm talking about the Saquons, you know, Todd Gurley, up until, you know, obviously last year they limited him, but up until last year, and you look at, again, Alvin Kamara, you look at the top running backs in this league, and not only do they run the ball really well, they're outstanding pass catchers who are big time assets in the passing game. So look at Christian McCaffrey, okay, and look at the numbers that he's putting up. By the way, we could do a whole podcast on how much better he's run between the tackles and some of the schemes Carolina's done. Again, another podcast. But you know, you look at what the running backs are doing. So I go back to one thing, and I might have said this before on a podcast with you guys. One thing that I missed when we transitioned, and I love Dan Reeves, loved some of the stuff that we were doing. I missed that run and shoot offense, and where June Jones was moving me all over the field. I mean, I had like 55 catches or something in '96. In the off season in '96, we used to have a month of passing camp. Like the month of May was passing camp. Okay. It was, you know, quote-unquote voluntary. But I remember June, when I came in, he was like, okay, so you're going to be in the room with the slots. I'm in the room with, like, Metcalf and them. Man, I can't run routes like Metcalf. But his whole thing was, you know, you're a great pass catcher. You need to learn routes, then put linebackers on you, and you're going to beat them all the time. And I loved it. So it was always a part of my game. I actually, even with 1,800 yards, was a little frustrated that I didn't have more catches than 30 that year in Reeves' offense, because he was about, you know, rotating and making sure I was fresh, which I totally understood. But I wanted to be on the field, period. I thought I was the best option for us all four downs. You understand? No disrespect. Harold Green was awesome, man. Harold Green was awesome, and some of the guys, you know, Hans Bart was there. They were awesome. So that's my big thing right now with it. It's because you look at a guy like McCaffrey, you look at Kamara, you know, you look at, you know, Saquon when he's healthy. I mean, Ezekiel is even contributed consistently more and greater each year in the Cowboys offense. And that's what's frustrating to me, because it's not like we're just pass catchers. You got guys like Le'Veon Bell, which was a thing for me, who was catching, you know, 60, 70 balls a year in Pittsburgh and running for 1,300 yards. Like, excuse me? Excuse me? You know what I'm saying? When he's like the number two or three receiver in addition to the numbers he was putting up on offense, and you want to downgrade, or, you know, it turned into this numbers game, and I get it. Austin Eckler's come out of nowhere when you got Melvin Gordon. I get it, and I love those stories. I'm one of those guys. But I think the top guys deserve a certain plateau of pay, particularly as it pertains to what they're doing, not just in the running game, but they're also prolifically catching passes in these offenses. There's my case.
I think it's a brilliant case.
And I think another thing I want to point out, especially when we remember watching the playoffs last year, Derrick Henry, of course, had his run. But Dalvin Cook, you look at Cook and Henry, I don't think Minnesota or Tennessee wins their playoff games without those two. I think if you want to look at the value position, those two essentially carry those offenses to victories, you know, big-time opponents in hostile environments.
Right, and here's the thing. I was doing radio and a bunch of stuff in Miami for years. I've been a Tannehill kind of guy. I'm not even in the front. I always thought, I was like, come on, man, this dude literally just transitioned from wide receiver. Okay, he's played quarterback for a couple years. You know, we have this, like, everything is shotgun now because of social media and Twitter. We want instant gratification. I'm like, dude, let the guy develop and give him an offense and give him some people and kind of insert him with some confidence because he has a tremendous amount of athletic ability and he could actually throw the ball. It's just putting him in the right situation. A lot of times with these guys, and like even with our guy, even with two, come on, man, can we get some consistency in the coaching? This is my thing. I'm one of those people who want to be as critical of Michael Vick in certain situations, but I'm like, man, could we get the same coach and coordinator? Like, people don't understand what that level of continuity does for a quarterback in their success. Let's look at Tom Brady. Not to say Brady hasn't produced because of who he is, but, man, they're not seeing wholesale changes in New England every year. You know how much that matters? You know, and that's something that doesn't even get brought up enough. I'm just like, man, look at Lamar Jackson. He goes to the Ravens. You know, this all kinds of people talking about what he should be, blah, 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 blah. Man, Jim Harbaugh and those guys fostered and cared for that relationship and that player and figured out what does this supremely talented guy do well? Let's do that. You know what I mean? And this is what I'm saying. And half the time, that's where it gets to this like whole weird part about the numbers and what people expect from players. And I'm like, man, you know how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl? I'm like, you know, you look at certain organizations and wonder why they have consistent success. It's that continuity and leadership from the top down, you know?
And speaking of Super Bowls, I want to get Jamal's thoughts on rewatching the Super Bowl between the Falcons and Broncos on TV this spring, coming up on today's podcast. But before we get there, I know you've heard him on the Falcon Historian Shootouts, but why not listen to Brad Rowland, the host of Locked On Hawks, on a daily basis on your favorite podcast platform? And I'm sure the Hawks may not be part of the NBA bubble, but that doesn't mean Brad is slacking on content. And it just gives you an excuse also to check out any of the other 22 daily NBA podcasts that are expected to play later this summer. Find Locked On Hawks or your other favorite daily NBA podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So we're here with none other than former Falcons great running back Jamal Anderson, and we were just talking about teams having success with the running back position. Let's talk about Falcons success, and that means revisiting the Super Bowl. I know, Jamal, you had an opportunity earlier this spring during the lockdown when Fox re-aired the Falcons-Broncos Super Bowl. And I'm just curious, you know, what was it like for you rewatching that game, and how often have you had an opportunity to revisit that game, and if sort of the recent rewatch sparked any new memories for you?
Yeah, it was wild. So I'm not even going to lie. I've seen clips from the game and specials and stuff. I have never watched the game. I never sat down and watch any part of that game. I'm talking about like how Fox ran it. That was like, wow to me, you know? I mean, my dad, who since passed away from cancer, you know, from them showing me in the tunnel, like I remember my memories. Like, you know, when I talk to people about it and some of my close friends who know, I was like, it was crazy. Dude, Kiss was in the tunnel. They had just performed in the pregame. And we're about to come out, and they're, like, against the wall, like, waiting for us to, like, come out. And they're like, ah, Jamal, Dirty Bird. I was like, what? Like, in the full setup, you know? I was like, what is life? You know, and I stand back. I don't really get into, like, hype and get into where all the players jumping around, you know? And I love it. Chuck was got those guys ready. I kind of stand back to myself, and I knew that I was going to be the last player that was going to be introduced in the Super Bowl on the field for both teams. So I knew that. And so for me, when they were showing guys and then they showed me and then they kind of cut to my dad, I saw my dad like wiping a tear out of his eye. do you know why the first play of the game against the Broncos, I came out of there like a raging bull? Man, I was so hyped. I was so hyped. They showed my pops that he was wet. And my dad never cries. This is a man who, you know, worked for Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, Tyson, Michael Jackson. He's been in all kinds of situations. This is not a crier. The only other time, to be honest with you, I remember seeing my dad cry was after my after Muhammad Ali fought Trevor Burbick. He did not want Muhammad to fight Trevor Burbick. I don't know if there's any fight fans out there. But Muhammad fought him, and it was brutal. And my dad was like, we shouldn't be here, this and that. And I never seen him cry. And I was like, oh, my God. It was shocking to me as a kid. I was like, oh, he has that emotion, you know. But, like, seeing the pictures and stuff, like, I knew how much he could. But anyway, so my dad's crying when I'm about to come out the tunnel. So, you know, the first play of the game, I went off and ran through, like, half the – if you watch that first that first series, I was on a mission. Like, literally the first half of that game, I'm like, man. So it's crazy when I'm watching this thing and I'm going, dang, we had the ball like four times inside the red zone and we produced 6 points. Like, so, you know, people are like, oh, man, the Broncos got you guys. Nah, man, we got us. Literally, we got us. Because we moved the ball down the field and put ourselves in a position multiple times. And I don't really remember that. Like, I remember, like, oh, I remember, like, when Robbie Toback went out. Like, I remember the big moments. I will never forget the fourth down because of what happened when we called the play. Like, I remember stuff like that, but I didn't remember, like, the play-to-play and how many times we were inside the red zone and didn't score a touchdown. So that was like, ah, I'm watching the game. My brother's like, hey, man, this is a 98. I'm screaming at the TV and going off like I'm not watching me, you know? So, but it was cool still to hear, like, you know, John Madden and Summerall and, you know, it was like I worked really hard coming from where I came from to put myself in that position, and to hear those guys talk about me in that way was like, damn, you did it. You worked hard and you got to a point where people respected all aspects of your game, because I took a tremendous amount of pride in being a every down player, a guy who picked up blitzes. I mean, if you ever watched the NFC Championship game, like the our 98 game again, I didn't have 100 yards, but I caught seven or eight passes. Man, I had like five or six tremendous blitz pickups. Tremendous. That's the proudest part of my game, because Chris Chandler had an unbelievable game. And I'm like, man. So, like, I look at that thing, not like a numbers thing for me. And people are like, what's your favorite memory? I'm like, oh, it's the NFC Championship. Not just because of what it meant, but because it was a game where if you really watch all three phases, for me personally, I showed up and was like, yeah, man, I'm not going anywhere. The D lineman's free. Okay, I'm going to jump in his face. It wasn't a game to me. You know, it wasn't a game to me. He would have had to, you know, run me over and knock off my helmet. I was not missing any pickups. And I had some huge ones in that game. And that's like my favorite memory from that game, you know?
From the Super Bowl, do you look back on it as was it just, you know, a couple of ill-advised plays, you know, execution wasn't there, or was it more of just Denver was kind of more of the talented team?
Oh, no. I mean, they were not. I'm sorry. I don't think they were a more talented team. You know, I've done speaking engagements and stuff like that, and it's kind of come up before. And I don't know, sometimes I'm like, you know, sometimes you're in the Hollywood script. You know, sometimes you're in like that script, you know, and somebody's movie, and, you know, you may not make it through the movie, or your character dies out or whatever. You don't make it to the end. Like, we got caught up in, like, it was like John Elway, man. It was like magical. Like, come on, man. Dude was 38. Okay. You know, and I will argue with people to this day, and not because of my experience with him. I think John Elway is a top five quarterback. In fact, I may draft him. Seriously? One, if somebody asked me who you starting your franchise with of any quarterback in history, I'm looking very hard at John Elway. I thought he was a stud. I loved him as a player. I thought he was crazy tough and the way he moved around. So we just kind of got caught up in that. But I look back at the game and I'm like, whoo, man, we missed up. I mean, Morton missed a kick. We missed an opportunity. The first time I ran us down, I mean, we ran right down the field on the Broncos and got inside the 10-yard line, and we missed a play that the same play that I scored versus Minnesota, the same thing we ran against the Broncos, and I got inside the guy. I mean, but Chandler was under pressure from the backside. It just came so quick. He had to fly out, and he couldn't really get situated. But, man, woo, Jesus, if he would have just threw it up in the air, he could have threw it behind his back. I would have been in the end zone. So they're just – that's what happens, man, and you got to score points. You got to score points, especially when you're playing against an offense like that. Come on. Shannon Sharp, Hall of Famer. Terrell Davis, Hall of Famer. John Elway, Hall of Famer. Okay. Tony Jones probably should be in Hall of Fame. Okay. Ed McCaffrey, crazy. You know, they can score points. The Broncos have some. They have ballers on both sides of the ball, and we needed to score, and we failed to do that. But it was frustrating. I only watched the first half, and it was frustrating to watch it because I'm like, oh my gosh, we're down there again. Ah! And we just. So, you know, but we have a very close squad, man, and that's the best part about it.
Yeah, it's always crazy with the Super Bowl because it's such a heightened game that just a couple of mistakes that are just, you know, normal mistakes that you would make over the course of any game during the regular season can be the thing that sort of breaks your back in that particular game. And because it's such a high stakes game where every little detail, every little thing counts.
Right.
It magnifies those issues.
Right.
And you know, we're sitting here over 20 years later, still talking about, you know, these little issues and whatnot. So it's always crazy with Super Bowls like that.
No doubt about it. I agree.
So I want to turn our attention to more current events and get Jamal's thoughts on the hurdles that COVID-19 may present for this upcoming football season. But as we look forward to 2020, you might also want to look forward to the 2020 NFL Draft, which means you should be subscribed to the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, where hosts Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak are going through their summer scouting series, going position by position to get you guys geared up for who are the top college prospects this upcoming season for next year's draft. Find Trevor and Ben's thoughts on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, by subscribing to Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Now, Jamal, you know, I want to turn our attention to more current events. And you already sort of spoke on it a little bit with concerns about whether we're going to have football this season. And I'm in the same boat where it seems like on an hourly basis each day, I read something else and I'm like, oh, we're not playing football this year. And then I read something else like, oh, maybe we will. Obviously, we all want the team to play football, and let's just move forward assuming that they will. But I'm just curious, before we sort of get into the Falcons' upcoming season outlook, from your perspective, I'm just curious, like, if you were a player today with this COVID-19 pandemic hanging over, what would be, like, the personal concerns you would have about playing, and whether it's going to training camp and interacting with the other 90 guys on the team, or whether it's just, you know, lining up and then breathing on people, you know, when you're getting up from the pile after you make a, you know, an 8-yard run or something like that. What are some of the issues that you personally would be concerned about if you were playing today?
I still work out a lot, which is fortunate that I can do that and still move around. And my point in saying that is I wouldn't necessarily, which I'm not now, be personally concerned about myself, but there's got to be some sort of protocol. If we're still where we are now or around that time, or we haven't bent curves in parts of the country, like, what are they going to do so players don't take the virus back to their families, you know? That's why I don't know. There's so many unanswered questions. I'm hopeful, but I don't see any possibility that the NFL could put the NFL players and teams, particularly with the numbers, in a bubble situation and conduct games. Like, where they're going to go, you know? So I don't know. I've heard that there's a contingency to start the season, possibly a month later. I might be telling you guys some information. this is what I understand. So who knows? And that may be a possibility, you know. You know, I was it's weird, and this is so not the NFL, but I was thinking, like, okay, if sports is coming back, you know, and basketball's pushed back, and then baseball's doing what they're doing, and they're pushed back, I'm like, what's going to happen? Because the football is such a behemoth, particularly with the ratings. I was like, whew, you know, I don't know how that's going to play, because the football dominates so much. And if all these other sports are pushing back in the football season, now that's a whole nother deal. But I was like, whew, nobody's going to be watching anything else if football comes back. But I'm frankly concerned on all the levels, because there's so many unknown things with the constantly mutating virus. You know, I'm internal CNN emails. It's like, you get stuff and you know, the specialist who's treating the people in Houston is like, I'm treating them differently this month than I was 4 months ago, than I was 2 months ago. Like a mutating virus. Like, we don't know. I think people are being complete in crazy and irresponsible. And the fact that wearing a mask has become a political thing is so outrageous to me, you know? And so I really posted on my Instagram stories and stuff. I was like, please, if you guys want football season, like, square it down to something you love, you know? If it's turned into something else, if you just want football season, man, please put a mask on, man, so we can get this thing in line. I mean, I have hopes for it to happen, but I just don't know. I don't know, guys, because there's so much going on right now, and how do you protect all those people in that situation unless we're just going to fire through it, which, well, we'll see. I'm kind of excited about the possibility of COVID helmets, though. I'm not going to lie.
Those designs did look cool, I will say that.
Yeah, I mean, man, I've seen a couple of mock-ups of COVID helmets, and I'm like, oh my God. Hopefully they come with oxygen tanks inside. That'd be tough.
How much have you enjoyed Matt Ryan taking more of the initiative when it comes to the Black Lives Matter movement? As you know, Matt Ryan's been pretty much, I don't know, he's not known to be the most talkative person, but I think over the past few months, you've seen him do more interviews and obviously the nations he's made. What do you make of what Ryan's been doing in the community?
Listen to me, man. I mean, can you have a better example for a leader, for the face of your franchise? I mean, can you honestly have a better example?
Well, guys, you're just going to have to marinate on that question for another 24 hours, because that's where we're going to leave part one of our interview with Jamal Anderson. And part two tomorrow will be focused heavily on Matt Ryan, his ability compared to other past Falcon quarterbacks, including someone by the name of Michael Vick, which I know has been a recent controversy, thanks to the god Gil Brandt on Twitter in recent days and weeks. And we'll also get Jamal's thoughts on other issues and topics with the current team and their outlook for the upcoming 2020 season that we're all hoping will definitely happen and are assuming and continue to proceed, even if it is, you know, us fooling ourselves that, you know, the upcoming season will operate without a hitch due to all the things going on in the world. But that will be on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Falcons. And of course, make sure you say subscribe to this podcast by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so that you do not miss part two of that conversation with Jamal Anderson, as well as our upcoming content, including the finales of the Falcons Historian Shootout, which should be coming to you guys shortly next week as well. And again, I want to remind you before we duck out of here that you should subscribe to the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Of course, Trevor and Ben, as I mentioned earlier, are getting you guys geared up for the 2021 draft with their summer scouting series. But of course, you guys want to stay tuned to all the things that are going to happen later this year, not only in the NFL, but in the college football landscape, and get Trevor and Ben's thoughts on that and how it affects next year's draft, which I know many of you draft obsessives are already planning on. I've already watched a couple of players myself, so certainly looking forward to what Trevor and Ben have to say about some of those guys on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Spotify.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.